The title of the next presentation is Nanotube-based Multipixel Field Emissions for X-ray, for CT and Radiotherapy, presented by Dr. Otto Zhao.
So the focus of this talk is about developing new X-ray sources. In particular, we're interested in using some of the recent advancement in nanomaterial nanotechnology to develop a spatially distributed X-ray source to do multi-pixel and also multiplexing imaging, targeting for CT and also perhaps for radiotherapy on small animal models. The work is mostly done under this large envelope of new NCI initiative on Center for Cancer Nanotechnology Excellence at UNC Chapel Hill. So first, a brief background. Why is it necessary to look into new X-ray sources? I think in our biased view, you look at the last 100 years, although there are large, rapid development in X-ray imaging technology, most of those come from detector technology and also imaging algorithms. The way we generate X-ray today, more or less do the same way Röntgen did 100 years ago, where one uses a thermionic X-ray source. You heat it up to very high temperature, you boil yourself electron, and electron bombarding a metal target that gives you the X-ray radiation. Because of thermionic process, there are several consequences to this. One of those very important ones is that today, exchanging all the X-ray sources is a single pixel, a single focal spot size, a single focal spot where X-ray come up from single point space. Most of the development over the years focus more or less on heat dissipation. I mean, how do we dissipate heat on anode, including the most recent stretch tube from Siemens? However, how do we generate electrons, how do we generate X-rays has not changed that much. So why is that important? I think one of the reasons why it's important is for CT imaging. Today, all CT scanners, because they're necessary to collect multiple images from different projection views, use a single point source where you rotate around the object to collect thousands or so projection images. As any imaging device, what's desirable is always the higher resolution, faster scan time. So the current state of art is that you can get roughly about one resolution or one rotation in about 0.3 seconds. Right. For that, the actual power now pushing up and up to about 100 kilowatts. Most of people will tell you that today there's very little room to improve, further increase in the gantry rotation speed because the larger G-force on the actual tube, which is close to about 30 G-force, is larger than the space shuttle during takeoff. And also because the heat dissipation case is because you're taking about 100 kilovolt X-ray, which is 1 ampere or so current for 1 millimeter resolution. There's just not easy way to dump more heat onto the anode. That's also relevant to limited angle CTs, for example, in tomosynthesis, which I'll come back and talk about later. Similarly, for micro CT, which has now become popular for preclinical studies on small animal models, where commercial models or experimental systems developed in university labs have done a very good job in imaging sacrificed mouse, you can get very high spatial resolution, as long as mouse does not move. But for live mouse, because their heart beats faster than humans, their lung respiration rate is faster than humans, for in vivo imaging of live mouse is very challenging. There are very few systems you can do a fully gated respiratory and cardiac gated CT imaging. As a result of that, today's micro CTs, your spatial resolution is very often limited by motion-induced blurring. How do we can get X-rays fast enough to do a truly motion-free imaging on CT level? The solution to try, from our point of view, I think is very clear. So you have to use multiple sources, which is not really a new idea. Back 20, 30 years ago, the DSR, the dynamic spatial reconstruction system by Mayo Clinic, uses about 20 X-ray tubes that pack around the gantry, which show one of the first cardiac images of heart. However, it's not a very practical solution because a large number of X-ray tubes used is still, as far as I know, it's only the one in the world, right? Electron beam EBCT, electron beam CT is another solution to do that. Where rather than using individual X-ray tube, using electromagnetic field to stir the electron beam to the different points on X-ray target, which is the ring or semicircle around the patient, that also provides very high dynamic speed. However, there's other limitations to the system, and it's no longer, I guess, the product is discontinued. There's another way to do that. I think we'll hear more later in this talk or in this session on inverse geometry using this using the scanning electron source by electromagnetic field. And the other way of doing this, a few years ago, Siemens introduced a dual source CT, where the simple idea is where you pack two sources, two detectors on gantry. And by doing the rotation, you can simply cut your scanning time by factor two. Now the question is, where can we go from here? Is it possible to do rather than two sources, do 1,000 sources, 1,000 pixels, spatially distributed around the patient? Therefore, you can do the whole scan without any mechanical motion, but simply electronically turn on the individual pixels. Now, how do you do that? So that's basically the motivation of this talk. We're using, basically our idea is using electron field emission rather than a thermionic electron source to generate X-ray. The question is, why electron field emission? That's also not a brainer. Since the invention of quantum mechanics, people realize that if you can generate electrons by field emission, where you apply electrical field rather than heat to generate electrons, an electron can be extracted at room temperature rather than using 1,000 degrees C or so because to overcome the work function. So you would end up with a cold source that gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of how to fabricate the X-ray source. You can truly build pixelated X-ray source. The other advantage is that it's very fast response time because there's essentially no delay between the time you turn on the voltage from the time the electron is emitted. So therefore, you can have very fast response time, and you have a programmable radiation that's also an efficient way of generating X-ray. However, you say, well, why? That's so obvious. Why has not been done? In the past, there has been attempts for using either diamond emitters or what's called spin tip emitters. All of those failed because the emitters, the electron source, are not good enough. They cannot simply generate enough radiation to be a viable device, nor provide a lifetime. Carbon nanotube is a material that was discovered about 15 years ago. This is a cartoon picture of carbon nanotube. There are many intrinsic, interesting properties of carbon nanotubes. One of those is that you can generate electrons very easily by field emission. The reason is very simple, because a large aspect ratio, you get much higher field concentration per nanotube tip. So without going into details, here are some very attractive features of carbon nanotube emitters. You can extract electrons very low electrical field, around 1 volt per micron or so, to have electron emission. More importantly, you can get a fairly high current density. You can generate an order of ampere per square centimeter, make that close to the range of today's high-end CT tubes. And also, there have been development of fabrication to do larger scale fabrication more reliably, give you the multi-pixel functionality. For example, here are some data on high current results where we collect using carbon nanotube emitters. You can see you can you can generate ampere current over a long period of time. And that's really the power level of today's high-end CT machine. And also from fabrication point of view, if you want a multi-pixel X-ray source, you have to be able to fabricate multi-pixel electron source. The technology has been developed mostly because of display people. There are hard push on pushing fabricating nanotube-based flat panel displays. Because of that development, there are now ways you can fabricate a larger arrays, either one-dimensional or two-dimensional patterns of carbon nanotube emitters with integrated electron extraction mechanism over a large area. Here are some of the the cathode wave fabricating in our places. Here you can see individual pixels, readout lines. You can make a large array without limitation, really the size. And this is a two-dimensional thing. This is about 1 inch by 1 inch area. Each one of the pixels is very small. It's only about 100 micron or so. That can be individually addressed and turned on and off easily. So that's the background of this work. We're in a point where there are electron sources now. We think they are attractive enough to look into whether you can generate X-ray. And there are ways in fabrication to fabricate this electron source in larger scale. We have a fairly comprehensive program at UNC to look at this from the very beginning. We start off very beginning from the carbon nanotube, develop ways to fabricate nanotubes with better electron field emission properties. We fabricate cathodes, we go to electron optics design, we do the X-ray source, there's some ongoing work in looking at imaging systems. For the purpose of this talk, I think I'll just concentrate on some of the work on X-ray sources, maybe some ongoing work on imaging system, without bore you on this more engineering material science part of the work. So this is very much a work in progress. What I'd like to do today is give you essentially a report of where we are in this effort. I'll use two examples. One of those is on micro-focused field emission X-ray source. Our interest in here is we'd like to develop micro-focused X-ray sources for dynamic micro-CT scanner. And also multi-pixel field emission sources. I'll talk a little bit about our current ongoing work on development and where we are in this process. And also some very unique capabilities of this multi-pixel X-ray source that allows you to do multiplexing. That is the idea to generate multiple X-ray images at the same time, rather than doing it sequentially one at a time, which is really what today all the communication devices, how they operate it. And there's some illustration of where we're going with this technology. So first, micro-focused X-ray tube. I think our previous talk gave a very good general introduction on why they're interesting. For micro-CT applications, you want to do dynamic micro-CT to get really good enough resolution, you really want a focal spot in order of 30 micron or so for live animals. Too small is not good enough because you dump so much dose, you basically kill the mouse. And also important, if you want to do cardiac imaging, you want to have very high temporal resolution. You want to be able to generate actually pulses in order of 10 milliseconds or so. And you want enough flux so that you can have this in a shorter time to get enough signal-noise ratio. And ideally, you'd like to be able to program irradiation so it can give you the gating and synchronization in non-periodic signal. In a way, most of cardiac and respiratory signal is not exactly periodic. So our design is actually fairly straightforward. This is schematics of our micro-focus X-ray tube utilizing a carbon nanotube electron source. This is work by a former postdoc, Zhou Jian, here in the audience. And basically, this is based on an ENSO type of lens. So what you have here is here are carbon nanotube emitters. We use what's called gate electrode, basically apply a small bias field between this gate electrode, the carbon nanotubes, you extract electrons. Then you work out electron optics so you can focus the electron sources to a tiny point in space. That gives you the focusing power. And this is more fancy CAD drawings on one of these portable sources we're building, but the essential principle is the same. And to do that, we also need to fabricate our electron source in a smaller scale. Simulations show that we can do about factor 2 of demagnification. So to get a 30 micron focal spot size, we need a very small carbon nanotube electron cathode. So this is one example where we use an elliptical shaped nanotube structure deposited on silicon wafer and give you both multi-pixel capability, then we can address them. This is a SEM picture showing the carbon nanotube on the surface. To show you that indeed you can actually generate micro-focus X-ray source, this is a simulation using a Barker field. This is experimental measurement of the focal spot size using that X-ray source I showed. So it's actually, one thing nice about the system is fairly linear. You can actually control your focal spot size by simply changing the cathode diameter. The scale is essentially 1-to-1 ratio by a factor, there's a factor 5 demagnification, but scales linearly with the cathode size. Okay. And that's kind of been verified by experimental measurement of focal spot size. We use this European standard to do the look at intensity profile that gives us the focal spot size. So we can get to about 30 microns or so with this device with some effort. And also, the flux is reasonable within our expectation. This is a more recent thing. We use a 50 micron resolution focal spot size. We generate around 5 milliampere current, which is what we're looking for to do a cardiac gated imaging, and they're reasonably stable over a long period of, reasonable period of time. Another thing about this X-ray source that's very, I think, attractive is that you can really program the radiation any way you want. Essentially, you use a signal generator. You want any your periodic, non-periodic signals. You can vary the path width. You can vary the repetition rate without much problem. We use a simple live view program. You can program them. So that works fine. We actually now went ahead to set up a micro CT scanner. Actually, we set up two of those at UNC. This is our first generation. Initially, we had a single pixel source. For two different geometry, in this particular case, we have a stationary X-ray source and detector with a rotating sample. It's relatively easy to set up. On the other hand, it's not very animal friendly because especially for gated imaging with cables and so on. Our second one is a little bit more elaborated. And basically, we mount the detector and X-ray source on rotating gantry. This is Hamama's detector, roughly about 10 by 10 centimeter. So this is an animal bed, and this whole thing rotates in sync. Without going into detail to show you that worked, first, these also are reconstructed micro CT images of sacrificed mice. In particular, this is actually a heart of an embryo of mouse, and should give you enough resolution, roughly about the feature size around 30 micron or so. Here are more interesting ones. This is a gated micro CT imaging of a free breathing mouse. So we do not use a ventilator, we don't force a periodic respiration. To show that indeed the capabilities, we actually done this in a way we basically put a 10 millisecond actually pulse at a peak of the motion. So every cycle we do one actually exposure. We take this image over 600 projection images. This is reconstructed at about using a 40 kilovolt X-ray, 2 milliampere peak power, to have a fairly decent actual imaging. Of course, the next step we'd like to do is be able to do both a respiration and a cardiac gating at the same time. That's a work in progress. Okay, so where we go from now, from the micro CTs, we talk about a multi-pixel capability. We're in the process of setting up a stationary micro CT scanner. The idea now we can, well, I'll show you in the second half of this talk, we can build multi-pixel actually sources. We'd like to have set up a simple system. This may not be the ideal geometry, but it's one of the options where we'd have arrays of actually sources and at least two area detectors, so that'd be able to generate hopefully sufficient amount of projection images without any mechanical motion of neither the source detector nor the sample. That we hope to be able to provide enough of both temporal and the spatial resolution to do at least one or two energies. So let's move on to talk about multi-pixel and multiplexing, since now we think we can do a single pixel actually source. Our first demonstration is fairly straightforward and simple based on our design of this single pixel actually source. What we have here then is basically a linear array of electron sources. Those are individually controlled by a MOSFET circuit in the back. So they would have, here are the electron source part, here is the gate electrode that extract the electrons, here the focusing electrode. Okay. And you have a constant voltage applied on the anode, and the electron generated by basically we put a 5-volt signal sweep through the MOSFET. Right. At any given point we put a 5-volt voltage here, you open the circuit, and the gate voltage applied on the electron source, and you get the electron generated and generate X-ray. So you can, by that way, you can use a simple function generator, essentially scan your X-ray source at any sequence you want, either gated or not gated. And so that's the first demonstration to show you that indeed you can do this. Those are the pinhole images of 5 spots on the X-ray anode. And this initial demonstration shows the stability, each of the pixels are holding at very low current, which is about 0.1 milliampere. But you can see, well, the idea is that if you want a multi-pixel, you need a consistency on the focal spots on pixel-pixel, and also the dots on pixel-pixel. That indeed can be done both from controlled cathode and also electronically. So that's very simple, relatively easy demonstration. From there, it took us very long time to go to the next level. But today, I think we're finally get there. This is you see efforts in semi-industrial production of what we call a multi-pixel, multi-beam field emission X-ray source. This is a prototype done by Syntec and Siemens Medical Systems, the same team that developed the Stratton tube. So this particular tube operates about 140 kilovolts and has about 100 actually pixels in there, and can generate about a few hundred milliampere current. That we can scan, you can control the pulse width. This is a fairly recent development, and the system be under evaluation, being tested, but so far worked out pretty well. So that basically gives you, leads you into the range of where you would like to be for a CT imaging, because, you know, in terms of KV, we're shooting even higher anode current at this point. Okay, so we have this now multi-pixel field emission source. What else can we do beyond a simple replacement of gantry to stationary? One of the things we think is very interesting, that's very novel, is that it allows one to do multiplexing actual imaging. Right, multiplexing is the idea that rather than doing sequential imaging, which is what we do today for CTs, because now today you basically take one shot and you rotate the source, take another shot. So the demand is mostly on the gantry and the X-ray source. Where multiplexing is the idea is, what if we can shine all the X-ray sources at the same time, but somehow we can color code the X-ray, so that you can run demultiplexing on the detector side to deconvolute this composite image. What this allows you to do, then, you can get a much higher scanning speed, provided that your detector can keep up. A second also allows you to reduce the X-ray peak power. That, you know, you can go into detail why that's the case. Both are very attractive, and the basic, what this allows you to do then basically shift the demand from the X-ray back to the detector. The detector has been, you know, seeing a lot of improvement there, but not so much in the source. Of course, in this audience, one of the things people always ask is, what about scattering? That's something we don't know for sure. It's been evaluated. But to show you that works, this is a very quick summary for details. Professor Zhang is the one that done most of the work. He's having a separate talk today, later in the afternoon at 5 p.m. So we've done two things to demonstrate this. When, for multiplexing, there are standard algorithms to do this, either by frequency division. Basically, the idea is that, so if I have multiple X-ray sources, I can pulse X-ray at different frequencies. Right? Then in the frequency space, I can separate the individual X-ray images because they have a different frequency. That allows us going to some kind of, well, doing the Fourier transform of the frequency space, separate them, and transfer back to real space to deconvolute that. To show you that work, this is one demonstration we've done with non-X-ray pixels. This is one frame of that multiplex image. You can see, well, basically it's a blurred image of many views from different viewing angles. But going through the demultiplexing process, you get non-individual projection images without much imaging distortion. Because of the multiplexing principle, we think we can increase the imaging speed by n over 2, n is the number of pixels. So if you have non-pixels, we can get a factor of 4 at least imaging and scanning speed. Okay, that works well. There's only one catch to this. We do frequency division multiplexing. If you want to do 1,000 pixels, your detector has to be really fast to catch up that speed, and that creates some constraints on how we do this. So alternatively, there's a different way to do this, which is a binary multiplexing. The idea is rather than relying on the frequency to separate this, what if you just by linear addition and subtraction? Right, that's also a principle people work out, for example, in some of the analytical instruments now being used by this binary multiplexing principle. The idea is that if you have an array of X-ray sources, if you have a detector, so rather than by sequential imaging one by one, if you form a matrix, for example, in this case, of 3 pixels, I only turn out 10 of those, 2 of those out of 3 each time. Right, now later on I can do an inverse matrix and resolve these images. And indeed, we can do this. This is a demonstration, I believe. I think we did this for 7 pixels, but you can hear more from Jerry's talk later in the afternoon. That you can also come back to real space and get, well, separate images. So basically, this is really often the, to us, I think it offers a new opportunity to think about how you design instrument, how do you do the imaging sequence anymore, right? Where you're no longer limited to do this one each time process. You can now start to think about, can you do multiple images at the same time? What does it give you in terms of both imaging quality and also from hardware design? Right, so that's the part on the X-ray source. Now I want to move on to just give you an illustration on the two systems we're thinking about. We're in the process of building. One of those is breast tomosynthesis. Our neighbor at Duke has a very strong effort in there. You'll hear more about this. But, you know, I think most people, a lot of people now think tomosynthesis may be a way, the next step for breast tumor imaging. Our interest, more or less, always in the hardware cases, you say, okay, what are the constraints, limitations today's prototype CTs, tomosynthesis scanners? Because the use of a single pixel device today, well, this is the image of a Siemens device, and GE Hologic are more or less the same. You essentially have a C-arm on your regular tomo system. So there are two different ways people operate this. In the Siemens and Hologic system, you basically have a continuous... Oops. Doesn't seem to work. Alright, sorry, I guess it does not link to the file. But in the Siemens Hologic system, basically you have continual rotation. Your X-ray is in rotation during X-ray exposure. Right? That creates some problem because essentially you have motion-induced blurring. So how many seconds or milliseconds your X-ray is on? When you move that, essentially you have a large focal spot size. Right? That also limits in some extent how fast you can do this scan. GE does it a little differently, do a step and shoot, but you still have to accelerate and decelerate your C-arm. It takes time to stabilize the mechanical part of that. So as a result of that, I think all three scanners take fairly long time to scan because you still need a compression from patient point of view that's not really a desirable number to have. So is there a way one can increasing the scan time and at the same time maybe start increasing the scan speed and at the same time increasing the spatial resolution? With the other system at UNC, it's still a work in progress. But the way we set up is we set up a tomosynthesis scanner with a geometry more or less the same as a Siemens MemoMed system. So we use 25 x-ray pixels. That spans roughly about 60 centimeters or so, except in our case it's a straight line rather than an arc. Right? And the similar field of view and similar air gap, and this is the picture of the real system. So this is the x-ray source with 25 x-ray windows coming out this way. We use a variant the x-ray detector. The way it will work will be, I hope this works. Okay. So this is a CAD drawing of the whole system. Basically, rather than rotating the object or the source, we essentially electronically fire up one by one to 25 pixels. Right? That way allows us to increase the actual exposure speed, increasing scanning speed without causing any motion-induced issues. We're in the process of assembling them together. I think hopefully towards the summer we'll have the first set of images. And this point is still in the hardware construction assembly process. Nevertheless, this is a table of a comparison of the performance we're targeting. And basically our system, we're looking at a spatial resolution of 200 microns or so. In the first pass, we're looking at a 10-second scan time, with further increasing about 60 milliampere tube current. We think we can do the whole scan under 2 seconds, which will give us about a factor of 10 increase in compared to the current TOMO system. Since I'm almost running out of time, I'll just show you one more thing. This is a basic idea came up from Professor Xia Chang at our radiation ecology department. Basic idea is that, for small animals, it'd be ideal if we can set up a system one can look at not only imaging the small animal tumor, but also look at the effect of actual radiation on tumor. Really today, there's no system one can do that. A system where we can do essentially CT imaging at the same time for small animal irradiation. System we're designing here is really a pixelated, a pencil beam x-ray. The idea is that you would have some number of N by M x-ray pixels that we can individually control, that can be turned on, allows us to control not only the dose, but also dose distribution. The source will be on the gantry so you can actually expose to the mouse from different directions. This is still early in the development, but we are in the process of setting up the system, so this is the initial design of the system. We'll be able, I think, have at least a 10 by 10 x-ray pixels that give us enough dose to the mouse at energy of kilovolt irradiation rather than m volt. So I think I'll stop here just to summarize it. I hope that using this time I have convinced you that a nanotube-based field emission x-ray source certainly offers certain unique capabilities compared to the conventional thermionic source. From more sort of realistic evaluation point of view, I think the flux and lifetime today are not comparable to the commercial x-ray tubes. On this idea of multi-pixel and multiplexing x-ray technology, we hope can lead to a faster and also a better CT scanner in the near future. The work done with this is a large and complicated project involved a lot of people at the UNC, especially Jianping Lu at our physics department, and also Xia Chang, who is really spearhead all the efforts on the radiation oncology part of the development, and also with other people at our cancer center. I'm here at a messenger. Most of the work is done by students, postdocs, and the people, some of those here in the audience. Thank you very much.